This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Do the 2017 season primer for the Hawthorn Hawks. My name's Heath. Today we've got with us Brenton, as always.
G'day.
Josh, as always.
Yep.
And we've got Will, who's hanging over from the Essendon primer just before.
This is called rebuttal.
The right of reply. How are we doing, Will?
Very, very good. I will say I don't have much ammunition in terms of right of reply.
They've dropped away.
Yeah.
Pressure's on.
Well, 2016, it was a down year for the Hawks. They had 17 wins and finished third. But bowed straight out in the final. So how do you sum up 2016 for Hawthorn?
Failure.
Well, I mean, they competed. It was great to see them not win anything because, that's what I go for. Any successful team, I hope they lose everything.
What do you mean not win anything? We won a Brownlow.
Yeah. Oh, that's true. Yeah.
Not West Coast. Hawthorn won a Brownlow.
Yeah, but so did Richmond. So if Richmond wins something, you've won.
Hey, we'll take it.
Is it a real win, really?
Yep. I thought 17 wins, it was flattering, really. Because Hawthorn, there's no game besides round two.
Well, it's not 15.
It's not 15 what?
It's not 15 metres, and that's what St Kilda are screaming right now.
Yeah. There was no real game where they really took it by the scruff of the neck and buried sides.
Yep.
We just spoke about Essendon. They had a 100-point win against Essendon. It was the most unconvincing 100-point win I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Besides round two against West Coast, they never put teams to the sword like they did the three previous years where they were running better. 17 wins, it could have very easily been 12. And you're right, there was when the jokes came up about, free kick Hawthorn, that one against St Kilda, they had a legitimate.
Yes.
It was 10 minutes out from the bell, though, but 100% that goal, it did change momentum, and it was not 15.
Yep.
It was 15, the kick. Other way around. They had four clutch shots on goal to win games and got three of them.
Really?
Sicily got one against the Bulldogs, Pioppolo against Adelaide, Cyril against Sydney, and then obviously Isaac Smith, who was in the finals. And
that was a brilliant moment. I was sitting with the Geelong crowd. I don't go to Geelong. But for that moment, I was all about it. Just because I thought, they're going to fucking steal another one. They're gonna steal this one. It's going to be their year. Now, fuck this. This is bullshit. And then just sways over to the point post. And everyone just fucking exploded. I'm getting high fives. Some old lady hugged me. Legitimately hugged me.
I mean, I know that Hawthorn lost, but is Geelong winning that?
That different?
Yeah, is it that much of a consolation?
I was just screaming out his no Sam Lloyd.
Well, see, that's what I mean. The Hawks, they can do the close ones against everyone except for Geelong.
Seems
to be.
But that always keeps interesting with that rivalry. I hope it still continues now that Hawks are sort of on the slide a little bit, got rid of some of their top-tier talent. So I hope that still is a prominent feature that, almost like Essendon and Collingwood, always going to be a big game and a half-hot game.
Yeah.
Hope that one still stands the test of next few seasons.
I thought their season last year was really similar to Geelong's in 2014. Both had sort of 16, 17 wins. A lot of them were pretty unconvincing, and they both bowed out in semi-finals. So,
great sets.
Lost some of their sheen.
Yep.
As those Geelong did as well.
It's the fear factor as well.
Yeah, it is that. The old, about the Yankees, people are staring at their pinstripes. It looked like a few times in the last couple of years, teams have been defeated before the game had even started. Fuck me, it's Hawthorn. And they dropped the bundle as soon as they got a couple of goals ahead. And you're right, it didn't happen this anymore. There was obviously the Melbourne game. And Melbourne nearly beat Hawthorn twice. And then the final game of the season for the Hawks against the Dogs, when Hawks were five or six goals up and Luke Bruce had a shot on goal and he missed it. It looked like the Bulldogs were like, no, we still got this. Yeah. Whereas in the previous years, any team would be like, oh, for fuck, here we go.
Yeah.
Well, it would have been 8 free kicks against them.
The Bulldogs. See, that was the other thing about the whole thing all year about free kick Hawthorn. I reckon the Bulldogs are sitting there going, really? They're getting this shit?
Well, to be fair, the Bulldogs don't really register many people's radars until finals.
Oh, they didn't. And now...
They will now.
I tell you what, if you read some threads about Sydney supporters afterwards, Jesus Christ, they've forgotten about free kick Hawthorn. All these guys that were, you know, anyone but Hawthorn, I'm like, what do you think now, motherfuckers?
Exactly,
There was a game they had against Adelaide where it ended up, it turned out that the same umpire gave so many free, high free kicks
to the Bulldogs.
To the Bulldogs. And the Crows fans were... quite displeased.
Oh, they're really level-headed, mum.
Yeah, exactly.
There's nothing more hilarious than an upset Adelaide crowd. I fucking love it. Like, it's the only good thing about going to watch football in Adelaide.
Actually like quite a few Adelaide players, like, you know,
Eddie
Betts. But the supporters, ever since they spat at me when I was playing in the Little League, not a fan. Not a fan of them.
Not at all, and let them know every chance they get, too. Which is even better, because when you used to go out to, West Lakes?
Yeah.
The old thing was. It was all old people had those tickets I had since way back when I first became a team. So a lot of young people, you didn't get much sort of out of them. It was just that polite little clap and that, oh, boo, when they'll say something wrong. But now you've got young kids coming straight from casino across the bridge that are hammered as fuck. They're standing on the hill watching the footy. It was great fun.
Well, that's what Geelong needs to sort of, regenerate their...
Inbreeding.
and an industry.
Jobs
would do.
A casino. Something to do.
I can see that happening. The Ford factory turned into a casino. There you go. Is old mate Darren Lyon still mayor there? Or is
he is not.
No, he is not? No. Oh, he can't fucking help anyone then.
Yeah, Johnny Ho out there. Johnny Stowe. Lawrence Ho, Johnny Stowe. Yeah. Get together.
You racist.
It'll be Soho Geelong.
To be honest, I thought it was a disappointing year for the Hawks, but you're coming off...
Oh, we're back on Hawthorn. Okay.
Yeah. Well, the topic of the episode. Actually, I did have one more dump on Adelaide, but I thought, that's enough.
No, why not?
Yeah. Well, we were there that day that Malcolm Blight didn't even stay for the final side. That's right. That was fucking awesome hilarious. That day.
Hilarious.
And we were sitting with the Tigers cheer squad.
Yep.
But anyway, with the Hawks, obviously coming off three premierships, you just go, you've already won it three times, haven't you?
Yep.
So I think they got forgiven a lot. For their shortcomings, because what does it matter?
Well, maybe by their supporters, but for the outside supporters, they always kept on reinvigorating the team with good players who wanted to go there, which is really annoying for like teams that weren't so good. We can't hold on to players. Like, it was our players going to there to try and get a premiership.
Right, we've shared it around a bit this offseason. Don't worry about that.
It's true, but I think the GWS is the worst culprit now. They've got rid of lots of good talent and haven't got a premiership to show for us. So.
Yeah, give it time.
Yeah,
exactly.
I think the Hawthorn's going to struggle this year, though, with losing their tax exempt status.
Yeah.
Now that they've retired Spanger, they've no longer got Jesus in there. They can't claim to be a church.
Well, that brings us very sweetly to the outs this year. And we'll start with Spanger. Has there ever been a more loved cult hero who played 3 minutes in the season?
Say, more loved cult hero than Jesus? I don't think so.
How would you feel be the bloke that had to go and tell him? Like, man.
Well, when you turn up with a couple of nails and a couple of tools,
I get the picture.
He's got to be known as Pontius Pilate for sure.
But do you reckon he would have gone, I forgive you, my son? Whoever had sacked him, poor
man. He's giving you cancer.
He's the Old Testament turn of God, man. He's fire and brimstone. You're in the plague, and all your sons are dead, motherfucker.
No, I think he's still around the club. I think he's still doing bloody,
faith healing
stuff behind the scenes.
Serving wine. Some faith healing.
Well, I'll tell you what, it would explain why Jagger O'Meara is playing. I think he is that he's going to be used as the example for players that, the journeyman that actually got there in the end. He's just going to be pointed and go, you know what, if he can do it at his third club, maybe I can.
A bit of marketability too doesn't hurt. No, a bit of personality, get in with the fans, you can get a season out of that.
Mm.
Exactly. Now, on to some of the bigger... there's been a lot of other younger players, well, not younger players, but lesser lights that had to leave, like Litherland. Woodward, unlucky. He was always looked like he was going to be a champion, but too many knee injuries. And Litherland was one of those guys that's sort of 25th best.
Yeah.
And I thought he might have got a shot at another club, but didn't happen for him.
But for them, it's hard because they've got such a strong VFL squad as well. They're really players that will slip through the cracks just because they didn't get a chance.
There were people
ahead of them in the line.
Now, onto the bigger names. Bradley Hill, who at times could have been a whipping boy for Hawthorn, but played better once it came out that he had a meeting mid-season with Ross Lyon, which I thought was amazing, in that that's the way it should be.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like you say, look, you know, I don't know what I'm going to do next year, but I've had a meeting with them. They go, yeah, fair enough.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, it's a business and it's a job.
Yeah. To be fair, Hawthorn are kind of like the hot chick who some bloke matched with them on Tinder and suddenly couldn't make the meeting. You know, they're like, oh, you're leaving. Well, we've got 8 people wanting to come to our club and about 40 more emails haven't even got to. So, yeah, miss you. Bye.
But I think we said it when we did the Frio preview. He's only 23.
Yeah, I couldn't believe that.
And he's won 3 flags.
Yeah. Ridiculous.
And played good in grand finals.
Fuck that guy.
So, I mean, he is going to be missed because his immediate replacement is Billy Hartung, who isn't as polished as Brad Hill. But he's certainly got more guts.
Yeah. But, I mean, Brad, they didn't really need the guts out of Bradley Hill. They just needed him to be a sort of outside
He's an outside runner.
Yeah.
That was
his
job.
Yeah.
Still a bit inconsistent. But, I mean, the worst thing is what you give up to is it Freo went to?
Yeah.
Yeah, a squad that can really utilise a player like that. And that's what they built game plans around. So,
especially when he's going to be running alongside his brother.
Exactly right. So that's sort of what I'll be more concerned about giving up is you're giving sort of direct competition a really good player that will fit into their squad nicely.
Provided he can stay on the field.
Well, this is true. That's always a problem for people in the West, so.
Yeah. And then, of course, Sam Mitchell and Jordan Lewis could not believe it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When the stories broke, it was late night because the Perth or the WA media came out first.
Yeah.
Still weren't, yeah, of course, mate. Yeah. Sam Mitchell's not going. Don't that.
Exactly.
Gone by morning.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. And how many kids do they have? See if
he's
kids?
He's got at least 3.
Mm.
But he's another twin boys, does he?
Twin girls.
That's right. Hodges got twin boys, wasn't it?
I know he's got a bunch of boys. I think it's actually Crawford's got twin boys.
That's right. Yeah. So will the father son, will they get the choice of going to Hawks or West Coast?
You've got
to
play 100 games.
100 games. So West Coast definitely had to jack out some shit and get 100 games. Don't
worry about that. I tell you, if anybody could get traded at 34 and play 100 games, it's Sam Mitchell.
Yeah, exactly.
But he's not going to.
Yeah.
Do you reckon they bring player coaching back in?
Well, I mean,
it just about is.
Yeah.
I think that's what his contract is, essentially. I'm going to say it's very forward-thinking of Clarkson to have this offer on the table and say, you know, if you really want to go over there, do it now.
Yeah.
Play a year and then coach. I've heard people say that it's trying to make Hawthorn look like a more desirable place for other players because then they can see that they'll look after you post-career.
Yeah.
Mm.
That's the way I'm justifying it.
Well,
I think... it was sort of a perfect storm for you know, Mitchell and Lewis to leave when they've got O'Meara and Mitchell from Sydney Mitchell. This was the perfect time to say, you know, you've got coaching aspirations, you know, you're up to move from West Coast and you get to clear some salary at the same time. That sort of allowed Clarkson to sort of
draft pick 88.
Oh, can't forget that.
It's a lucky number.
Well, Mitchell to West Coast is a great pickup, but for me, Melbourne getting Lewis is utterly brilliant for them.
He
is exactly the kind of player they need and the kind of on-field presence that will just lift them to another level.
It takes the pressure off Jones too.
Yeah, another wise head.
Yeah.
And I think that's going to be the biggest worry for Hawks is losing both of them, obviously, but they are two extra assistant coaches on the field.
Yeah.
And now Mitchell at West Coast is going to be ridiculous.
Yeah.
Him and Pritis together.
Mm.
The fact that Nick Nat's gone down means nothing because Sam Mitchell's played his whole career without a ruckman.
Yeah,
that's true.
So it's situation normal for him.
I want to see him take a few taps.
he just about... Oh, no, third man up's gone now, isn't it?
He might get off the ground by the feet.
I don't think he ever has. So. But Jordan Lewis, I mean, that was his greatest feat at Hawthorn. And you're right. Him at Melbourne is a great coup for Melbourne because I don't know how long... The story is that Clarkson went to his... place and he thought he was going to be off at the captaincy.
Yeah,
and they said,
hilarious.
How do you like the Demons?
Yeah. I think that's fucking hilarious.
But to me, if you're coaching Melbourne, you're just saying to a guy like Petrarca, you just say, all right, what Lewis does, you fucking do. You're moving in with him. You're sleeping beside him every fucking night. What he eats, you eat. What he does, you do.
So Petrarca's getting suspended 3 times a year.
Which North players are going to round
him? I don't know what it is Lewis has against North.
But... So, Mrs. Lewis is stoked.
I mean, it's not as if... I mean, Hawthorn have already, you know, destroyed North Melbourne at the trade table numerous times. And then to rub that in with Mitchell...
I'm still not over Lewis. Jonathan Hay and Lance Bacone. Jonathan Hay, All-Australian fullback, comes along, he's like...
Two first-round picks. And you can add Jed Anderson to that too as well.
Yeah. Well, Jed Anderson's going to be
still out. And so is he. So
well, the jury was good when he's a Hawthorn. He's gone north, and not so much.
He just hasn't got on the park
that,
yet.
That might not be his fault, though.
Which is half of
North Arnold Park.
Yeah.
But yeah, we'll get on to North. That'll be a tearjerker.
And Sam Gibson, you're giving him.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
And what else?
You got Hale.
Thompson.
Yeah.
We got. You didn't give us Hale. North Ballarat gave us Hale. It's amazing you come from North Ballarat and then end up, you know, three flags. But anyway. Three or two? Two, I think. No, you got all three. Anyway. Lewis and Mitchell come out, and then they drafted in a bloke named Mitchell Lewis. It's just, there's a glitch in the matrix there.
It's just someone taking the piss.
Like, fuck it, we're going to do this. It's going to be fucking funny.
Because you reckon the recruiters, like, because our first pick wasn't until 80 whatever.
Yeah.
Like, 88 was the first pick for a little while. So they've rocked up an hour and a half late to draft night and gone, Mitch, there's a bloke named Mitchell Lewis?
She's like, should we? Half hammered.
Like,
let's do it.
Yeah, fuck it. Let's do it.
Please tell me he's wearing number 35.
Apparently, in the TAC, he wore 53.
Oh,
yeah. I just went, you're kidding me. But no, he's not. I think and 35 was up for grabs, too.
Really?
No. I thought they've got to give it to him, but I think he's 42 or something like
apparently
that.
Apparently, they take this whole professional football club a little bit more seriously than we do.
So with, fuckers.
So with that, are we on the ends now?
Let's go to the ends. All right, can we start at the top.
Can we mention the big Vic?
Massive for Richmond, getting rid of Vic.
But we were saying off air before, fixing O'Meara's knees, that's a really good method. If they can keep O'Meara on the field... If they can fix Vickery, that is just fucking bullshit.
Yeah.
That is, they need to stop being a football club, join the CSIRO and cure cancer or some shit.
Yeah, well, I mean, I really hope they can't, because otherwise it means there's something really wrong with Richmond.
I don't think you need Vickery succeeding too.
There's something really wrong with Vickery.
It's the off-season, I'm still in denial. It's not coming around until round two.
Well, Vickery, they're trying to turn him into the 10% ruck sort of player. And his set shots on goal aren't too bad, but
he's definitely been very good this season.
Yeah,
I've seen a lot of Richmond games. I'm still okay. Yep, I know he can do good things.
Yeah,
we haven't seen the Vickery.
Yeah, exactly.
The Tyrone.
But his Tyrone personally become a cult hero at Hawthorn as well because they don't need him. He would just be an addition. So if you forgive his sort of like slight
the mascot,
more or less, yeah.
And it'll just be hilarious when he plays well.
Yeah,
he's just a running joke now.
Yeah, exactly, and I completely expect it too.
And obviously, Jagger O'Meara, they moved heaven and earth to try and get him out of Gold Coast and gave up basically 2 years' worth of draft picks for him. The fact that he's played all three preseason games is a minor miracle in itself.
Yeah.
And we've already spoken about, there must be something more wrong at Gold Coast than we thought.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
Not just played well.
Yeah.
Hasn't looked limited. The knee doesn't seem
hasn't looked reserved.
No.
It's like a powerhouse.
Yeah.
The rumors were in that knee injury that it was career.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Michael Long had one similar and he played about two games in 3 years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So to see him play, I mean, it's fantastic to see him play well because he's an incredible player.
Yeah, I'm not so much.
I'm going to say you're lying. Yep. But I mean, it is, because he was always going to be, the next golden boy of the AFL when he was at Gold Coast. And now he's actually on the park, which is just... It's still... It's a bit like Vickery. You're waiting for Vickery to do his dumb shit. You're just waiting for Jager. You're like, how's that knee?
It's like what round is Gaz going to do his shoulder in?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I don't want to get too invested.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Don't want to be hurt again.
And in one of the biggest, I'd say, win-win trades in the off-season is getting Tom Mitchell over to Hawthorn, because he was really surplus to needs at Sydney. He's like their fifth best midfielder.
Crazy. This is crazy.
Surely your salary cap starts to take a hurt.
Well, I mean, that's what it was.
Had to be.
Especially when you got, the Bondi billionaires up forward.
Yeah, although now Isaac Heaney's gone down with glandular fever or something, so maybe they wanted to swap the other way around.
Weird one. But he's going to be a ball magnet at Hawthorn, which he needed to be because the last ball magnet, also named Mitchell, is gone. But they've paid overs for him. So he's got a lot on his shoulders.
Which you have to do.
You have to do to move somebody.
Yep.
He's safe. I heard Wayne Carey on the radio. He said Tom Mitchell wouldn't walk in another side of the NFL. So he's going to have a blinder.
Okay, so the... I didn't write them down. The double-ups for Hawthorn this year, I can't remember them all. But I know they got double-ups against Adelaide and Geelong and Sydney. which you'd always expect.
Yeah, exactly. And they're good sort of rivalry games. Obviously, got Sydney as well, but Adelaide are up and coming. And just as interstate rivals, you need them.
It's got to test it. Yeah,
exactly. And I'm guessing they have a fair few Friday night games, which is going to be a difference because Richmond don't have them anymore. So.
Not many. I think we've got a lot of Thursdays. A bit like Richmond there.
Because those games you look forward to as a just a general watcher,
yeah.
Not as an invested.
I mean, without the they always win hate. They've been good football to watch in the last couple of years.
Yeah,
Before that, the circle jerk by the commentators around Cyril Rioli, like there was even sometimes where I've gone, oh my fucking god, I'm sick of this shit.
Yeah,
that's when I'm watching the Olympics.
Yeah. When I've forgotten which player it was now, they asked, it was Indigenous round, and it was, I think, Melbourne versus Collingwood. And they've asked him, oh, did Cyril on Friday night inspire you? You're like, Jesus Christ. I'm biased for Hawthorn, and I'm starting to go, oh, guys, can we move on?
Yeah.
And it distracts from the fact that some of the shit he does on the field is just
phenomenal.
It's incredible. Yeah. It's like...
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Oh, yeah, this is Hawthorn, yeah.
I was going to say...
It's all right.
A quick Google search, I can find that photo of him standing in an Essendon singlet next to James Hurd.
Let's not bring that up. Well, to be fair, we would have ruined it anyway.
So. Well, you did. He broke his collarbone about 2 minutes after that photo was taken, from memory.
But actually, I wanted to wind it back a bit in terms of ins. Ricky Henderson, the other one, free agent. Unrestricted, but the biggest in that we haven't touched on yet is really a return for Roughhead.
Yeah.
Well, what can you say?
Well, technically, he never left the club, but it's one time where I will be cheering Hawthorn in the regular season when he comes out and breaks through the banner. Because that's one thing that there's certain troubles in footy, but everyone might be against Hawthorn, but they're against cancer more.
Yeah.
And fair play.
You haven't got there quite yet.
Yeah, not quite as bad as cancer.
I tell you what,
you've won that many flags.
Yeah, four in a row going on five.
It gets quite. It would have been. You'd be kind of at a lymphoma level. Not quite at lung
stage
cancer.
Stage one. Yeah.
I mean, we joke about miracles, about Jager's knee and Vickery. It's nothing short of a miracle that he's alive.
Yeah.
From all accounts.
That is one thing. The media did a good job staying away from that.
Didn't they?
Yeah.
So you got to give them credit when they don't act like complete fucking animals.
So if I remember correctly, they had that one press conference just a week after it was announced. Yeah. And there was some bloke, one of the reporters, who said, are you ever going to come back again? And Ruffy said to him, tell you what, first game, I'll buy you a ticket. So I wonder if that reporter's he's made a phone call.
Sweet, free ticket.
Sold out game. I'm sitting in the coach's box.
StubHub.
But with all the ins and outs, obviously trading away the first and the runner-up best and fairest, or even though I don't believe they were the first and second best for the year.
Fake news.
It goes back to Clarkson. We've just got that, all right. Clarkson said so, must be good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Has there ever been a coach who's had more carte blanche with what he can do?
Adolf Mick Morehouse. He was just wrong.
Well, he didn't last that long at Carlton. He had that carte blanche, and that's why they have Daisy Thomas on a 20-year, $50 million contract.
That again.
Oh, that's lovely. That's great.
I think Sheedy had a bit of the same, but again...
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Towards the end of his career, even people were like, oh, come on, mate. You can't keep drafting, tall people in the first round. You know.
That's the only parallel I could think of too was Sheeds around year 15.
Yeah.
Or year 20.
Early 2000s, Sheeds. Yeah,
maybe Lee Matthews. Mind you, that was through physical intimidation or anything else. Yeah,
exactly. But it goes all the way back to, and I keep saying it, Stewie Jew. And he dropped in.
Yeah.
If that went tits up, I mean, there is no more Clarkson. He's not coaching anymore. And now it's, well, okay, how long do you want to coach for?
I'm pretty sure Stuart Jew's tits go up numerous times.
He didn't care. They just drafted a left leg and he was attached to it.
He had it. So out of the Hawks, who's going to have a big year this year?
Well, I've got Will Langford. I think he's one that I'm expecting.
He has to.
Was he injured last? Was last year?
Nope. He's been inconsistent.
Oh, he did have.
Before he was in for a while, and then he came back in a decent season last year.
Well,
he was in and out.
He missed out on the 2015
grand final
premiership.
Yeah, exactly.
Because injury and form.
He was underdone as well.
His highlights package is great,
but he's just a in and under player, a hard player that you need to sort of free up your playmakers who play on the outside and run through lines. I think he averaged 10 contested possessions last year and about 17 overall.
Yeah, but that's a lot of his problem. He's first hands to the ball, which is great.
Yeah.
But he's not strong enough or quick enough to break away, which means he gets hack kicks.
Yeah, yeah. Clang is still where a problem throughout most of his career.
Massive. The amount of times I saw him hand pass to where a player is rather than where they're supposed to be going.
Running to.
Yeah. It's not... It's one of those things where if you can just get him to think that little fraction of a second ahead, he'll be a brilliant player.
Yeah, and I mean, if they're going to draw any team, it's going to be that team. They've got that sort of structure around him.
Mm.
We got to give him some little lessons.
I actually think that Jack Gunston's going to have another big year. I mean, I think he kicked 50-odd goals last year, but he did it as the sole marking target up forward,
which
is really saying something, because he's a great lead in one-on-one, but he's not a pack mark by any stretch.
True.
But now that
Popolo gave him a hand with the pack marks.
Geez, he loves a leap, doesn't he?
Yeah.
But now that they've got Vickery as a marking target and Roughhead back, it'll take a little bit of the focus off and he can get off the chain a little bit.
Well, do you see those two playing alternate rucks, like Roughhead and Vickery?
I don't see Roughhead doing much rucking at all.
See, that's what I'm thinking. If he's going forward all the time and Vickery's going to be down there, is Gunston going to sit further back?
I hope so.
Further up the ground? He's mobile enough.
I actually see Ruffy playing more as a midfielder than ruckman.
Yep.
Adam Good style sort of thing.
Well, just as a big midfielder. Because his hands and picking up off the deck are that good.
Yeah. I mean, it also depends how he is now. Because we're basing a lot of his abilities on how he was, 2014.
15,
Which was brilliant. An absolutely brilliant player. And hopefully he can be at that stage. But I don't think we can really expect him to be as we remember him.
He was Coleman medal in 2013.
Yeah.
I don't think anybody's expecting him to be that good again. He just can't. I mean, his body's been through too much.
Yeah.
Yes.
It can't be.
But in that fairness, if you're the bloke that, shirt fronts him or something, oh, geez. Part of you is going to feel pretty bad.
You're going to help him up, aren't you?
You'd knock Gunston over, you knock Vickery over, and you're like, yeah, it counts. And then you knock him over. Oh, fuck, guys. Can we just, please, can you get up, mate, please?
Just Twitter for a week.
So Hawthorn have more protection now.
Fantastic. Well, actually, a mate of mine who had lymphoma and got over it, he used to drop the cancer card all the time.
Yeah, of course you would.
He was playing cricket, smacked the ball, and it was country cricket, not really, just a bit of a smack and tickle. And so he's whacked it, and they've called four, and the fielder's gone over to collect it, and it's actually about a foot and a half inside the boundary. And he's gone, nah, it's fallen short. And then from the middle, you hear him go, I've got cancer, you know? And he's like, all right, you can have this one.
So if Essendon want to do any of that round one, can't see it happening. So who's on the chopping block at Hawks then?
Roughhead.
No, not Ruffin. I mean, he gets a. Well, he's got the captaincy, which is phenomenal in itself.
I think he
gets a clean pass.
Yeah,
I think it might depend on how many games they can get Whitecross in for this year. I think he's a little bit in the outer. Was it 9-4? Maybe about 15 games the last 2 years, give or take a few. He's definitely got the talent, but just don't know if he can slot himself back in there.
Three knee Ricos can do
that. Exactly.
In similar lines, I think Sean Makers has to be pretty close.
It's been his career.
Yeah.
And I think the last couple of off seasons, Hawthorn have tried to shop him around and he said, no, I want to stay.
Yeah.
So you got to give him credit for that.
Mm-hmm.
But
see, on Whitecross, I think he needs to change back to his number 37, because once he changed to 11, he's been shit. Yeah, injuries have been no good. So,
I mean, 37 was when he did all his knees, and he thought, all right, I can get out of it now.
Yeah, no, just put yourself some more bad luck with the new number. You've already weathered the storm with the old one, so jump back in it, see how it goes.
Maybe. I think that was the cursed jumper at Hawks for a while. Oh, that might be 38. It was always the cursed jumper. But anyway, he's trying to get away
really
from it.
Do they really have a curse? There's no curse to Hawthorn. Well, really. Let's be honest. Fuck you.
I mean, I don't think there's been a player in history. There would never have been a player in history who has seen more of his teammates win premierships from the stands than Whitecross. Yeah. Like, everyone else is... The bloke that left the party 5 minutes before the hookers rocked up. but yeah, it's always... Shuey's the other one you mentioned, Will. His career has always been on the chopping block. He sort of lived there. Again, you go to guys like Jack Watts at Melbourne, Zach Dawson, wherever he is. It's always like, geez, come on, guys. And the sad thing with Shuey is he's looked good at times. He's taken some real pack marks.
At times he needed it too, so he gives you a bit of hope. You're like, oh, god damn.
And I think he started playing quite well as a forward.
That's his problem with his career is he's a lead-up, a marking option forward in all these juniors. And then he came into a side that had Franklin and Ruffett. Like, good luck, champ. A bit like Curry at North, you know, trying to be a ruckman behind Goldstein. It's just not going to happen for him.
No, and unfortunately it hasn't happened at Gold Coast either, which is too bad because I quite like the bloke.
I think the other couple of players that have been... almost on the trade table were Luke Bruce and Taylor Giray. I think Giray is going to find it hard this year because he's just not big enough or physical enough to play those roles. He's got a little bit of toe, but he doesn't have the kicking precision that Suckling had when he was there. And you know, and Birchall has now, which when you're comparing yourself to those kind of guys who are, you know, when it comes to accuracy, top 10 in the AFL, it's hard to live up to it, but that's the standard.
Exactly, yeah. So either make it or you don't. But the worst thing is they still got that much mid-tier talent that is easy trade bait. So they can still rejuvenate their team next year as well with no actual draft picks to give off.
Well,
to me, Sisley's that sort of player. Like, he could be phenomenal, or he could not live up to the hype and just have good trade potential at the end of the year.
Well, it's very interesting they've tried him in the back line. All pre-season. And I think that he's good there, but he hasn't got out of the I'm a forward mindset. He's trying to take the contested marks all the time when it might be, you know, a punch might be the way to go. But once he flicks that over in his head, he might be better for it.
Or he's traded. And they'll get something good for him because everyone knows he does have potential.
Maybe North will give him a first round pick.
we'll take Sam Gibson back if you like.
Actually, his knee's probably done now, so yeah.
And I think that the success of Hawthorn has masked that they haven't been able to develop those mid tier players. And they've had good success in the VFL as well. I think they've won a flag and lost a couple. But where's the next star? And that hasn't really come through. They've had Hallahan, who went up to Gold Coast and then hasn't panned out. Jed Anderson, who was always going to be good but never got an opportunity. Woodward, who won the listed medal as well, and now he's playing probably in VFL or somewhere else. I don't even know where he's playing now. But their next... That's why they had to go to the trade table and move heaven and earth to get O'Meara and Mitchell, because they didn't have the next A-grade midfielder.
See, I disagree. Yeah. I think Shields is going to be that one.
He is. He's a great, but his best attribute is tackling, and that's not what you need out of a playmaker.
I think that's just been also because he hasn't had to develop that yet.
No.
But he's been watching some, you know, blokes who are pretty decent at it. So I think this season will be the measure of him. And honestly, I think he can be a superstar.
Well, it's out of him and Mitchell. Him and Isaac Smith to be the next captain, and it looks like they've sort of Isaac Smith.
I don't feel Isaac Smith as that much, to be honest.
I'm with you. I think he's a good player, but captain is I don't know.
I don't like. Well, it's not I don't like. I don't sort of see outside players as captains.
Yeah.
Like Murphy at Carlton. He's a good player, but. Can you have like an outside sort of mid, you know, as your captain?
It's almost outside players.
It's less inspiring.
And full forwards. It's hard to justify a full forward. But I mean, there are a couple. I mean, Jonathan Brown was good. But
yeah,
Revolt.
And I mean, I like the Steve Waugh comparison, where if the game's on the line and you know you need one person to bat for your life, would it be him? And he's proven that no.
But it's amazing how he's dealt with that too. He's gone, you know, if that kick comes up, I want it again.
Absolutely. Jordan missed clutch shots too. He still wanted it back. I mean, he's a fucking Jordan.
He was a psychopath.
No. But it needed to be.
I think the lack of talent that coming through, or the lack of opportunities, I mean, it's just the nature of
the success.
Success. And, you know, that's going to happen in an equalized competition where your good players that you've won premierships with, they are going to get older, and you're not going to have the capital to replace them. You know, it's got to come from somewhere. Either you trade them in, like Hawthorn have done, or you try and draft them. But I mean, even guys
we've just given the big finger to the draft.
Even guys like Mitchell and O'Meara, like they're going to be really good players, but you know, it's not a guarantee that they're going to replace the production of someone like Sam Mitchell and Jordan Lewis. And you know, like guys like Hodge, Burgoyne, Gibson, these guys are all going to retire eventually.
That's what I was going to get onto next, is that their back line is looking very fragile. If you think Hodge and Burgoyne are likely to finish the end of the year, and Gibson just one knee away from the same. So
Gibson's been very fortunate with
he's slowed
injuries.
Down.
So
I can see if Hodge, Gibson and Burgoyne, you take them out, you've got Frawley leading the back line. Now that's not a great not a cerebral defence. Let's just say that.
I'll go the other way. And I reckon he was unlucky not to be in the talks for All-Australian last year. And I think Frawley is actually really underrated, because we got him because obviously Lake was going. Had to go eventually. And we needed somebody. Like, we've always been vulnerable to massive forwards. Hawkins particularly. And they got him to play on the Monsters. And I thought that Frawley actually did really well last year.
One-on-one, he's good.
He's brilliant.
I don't think he can lead a back line.
I think he can. That's where we differ on that. But I think that it's hard to be underrated at Hawthorn when they've won so many flags. I think he's actually been underrated. And like I said, I would have had him in the discussion. I wouldn't have picked him in the All-Australian side last year. But I think he should have been in the discussion. You're right. He's not a Luke Hodge.
No.
He's not somebody that's going to be directing the others, but you want him to look after the Gorillas.
Yeah, and I think one-on-one, you put him on Tom Hawkins, and that's fine. But he still needs Gibson and Burgoyne around him. He'll have Durea running around.
Yeah, and see, I think that's where the weakness is.
Yeah.
Small forwards is Hawthorne's weakness now.
But you look at some of the best backmen, they essentially play as tap ruckmen. In that the ball comes in, and instead of trying to mark or trying to spoil, they tap down to their own player, which... a good forward will do that too.
Yeah.
But to me, Frawley doesn't have that situational awareness. He's aware enough of where his player is.
Yeah.
And he'll try and, you know, belt the shit out of them and grab the ball or whatever. But he doesn't think the next move ahead.
Yeah.
That's just what I can... I'm obviously not reading his mind because I don't think there's much going on in there. But whereas when you've got Burgoyne, Gibson and Hodge around him, he looks good because he's got three very cerebral players around him.
Gibson has looked better for Frawley being there. And when Lake came
Gibson
in.
Gibson played tall when he was at North, and he had to play tall a little bit when he went to Hawthorn. And he's not a gorilla. He got exposed massively by Hawkins.
He needs to be the second man up. Yeah. Leave his man. He knows when to leave his man to go affect the contest.
Yeah. Absolutely. And he is very good at it, which is why I hope he finishes this year. But
he's coming off a goal-kicking season.
Kick
two.
But, do you think this could be the last year for Hodge and Burgoyne?
If either of them goes on to next year, I think it'll be Burgoyne. Only because he hasn't slowed down. There is no better fourth quarter player in the league.
I don't think there's any trade currency in either of them at the end of next year.
God, no.
Whereas it'll be a Mitchell scenario.
Pick 104.
They'll be sent off to a team that, you know, isn't in the... they're just after a leadership.
I think Hodge is, you know, obviously he's given up the captaincy this year. I can't see him going around next year. But... they're trying to nurse him through to his 300th, I think, now. Yeah. And I've always said, you know, with the success that they've had, those guys... like,
how many games do you need to get 300?
I think he's got 15, I think.
He's got no chance.
And he's already out for round one.
Yeah. He's going to miss at least 8 games.
Maybe, yeah. There's a good chance. But I've always said with those legends, when do they retire? Is how many years do you give them? And the answer is 1 year more than they should have.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. If you give them 1 year too many, that's fine.
Yeah.
You go, yep.
They've earned the right.
They've earned it.
Yeah.
This might be Hodges' 1 year too many, but it's still worth a try.
I think with Lewis and Mitchell out, you have to.
With
untested Jaeger as well.
Yep. Yeah. And you don't know how long he's going to hold up.
Mitchell and Lewis leaving, it's staggered those guys. Yeah. Leaving all at one. I don't think you want a mass exodus of.
No, you don't want to get four players. Nice experienced players and get rid of them all at once. That's fucking stupid.
Well, that's it. I mean, Hawthorn got pick 88 and pick 110 or whatever for Lewis. Well, that's more than North got for Brent Harvey and Drew Petrie. I guess.
What did North Heidelberg give up for
Harvey? Oh, Jesus. Actually, to be honest, I think we got a bargain with Drew Petrie.
Nothing.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think he did too, actually.
Addition by subtraction.
But Burgoyne is just, again, how can you go when Hawthorn are in trouble? They put Burgoyne in the middle and just mate, just do something.
Yeah,
and he does. And I think I read somewhere last year he had 100% accuracy for unpressured kicks for the year. Which I mean, unpressured kicks you expect, but 100% over the year.
Come in there,
Like that's not bad.
Totally not robots.
The other interesting thing stat I learned during the week was until last year, Luke Bruce held the record for most broken tackles in a season.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
There you go.
But I think...
He's a forward.
Yeah, but he runs away. He gives a lot of...
Oh, I thought you meant he had his tackles broken.
No.
He breaks tackles.
Breaks tackles.
I was going to say, if you get your tackles broken and you're a forward, you're kind of like, if you're a backman and your tackle gets broken, you should be benched.
Yeah, exactly.
That's because he's not very good at don't argues. He's better than you won't get tackled.
No, but that counts as a broken tackle. Yeah,
Maybe he's good at don't argue.
And it was Dusty Martin who took the record off him.
I want to check these stats. It bullshit.
Coming from Breitbart.
Some padding there.
InfoWars had a thing on it.
So where do we see Hawthorn finishing in 2017?
I've got them in a very familiar spot, ninth. Tigers. So I think they'll just miss out. Be good to see a bit of heartbreak as well. So I'm hoping that they're in the eight for most of the season and then just slowly drop out towards the last couple of rounds. So, yeah, optimistic I am.
Yeah, I've got them sixth, but I think that's more on the fact that they're a good team, unfortunately. Yeah. As much as I'd love to pop them down 10th, I just think they've got enough depth now. Like, teams are based on their average. We've said that so often, or at least I have. I think everyone just sort of nodded. But their average is still damn good. So... Yeah. Yeah, they'll have some moments where they'll look a bit ordinary, but they won't be as often as every other team.
Yeah, I've got them finishing that fifth to eighth range, and I just think they've earned the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah.
I mean, those guys are going to drop off eventually, and it might be this year, it might be next year. But I think you're right that they've got players there coming through that aren't as good as the those premiership heroes like Hodge and Gibson and whatnot, but they're good enough to get them into the eight.
Mm. Yeah, and a team that hasn't had a lot of injury trouble, and you think a lot of that is because of their prep.
They must have the best off-field injury management.
You'd have to think so. Like, it can't be a coincidence that for the last six, seven seasons, they've had injuries, but by far and away below average.
And they're like freak injuries, like Hale. Was it Hale that did his knee?
Segler. Andrew Russell's the fitness guy down there, and there's no coincidence, I think, that several clubs have thrown big money at him. They've tried to poach the fitness guy.
Can't blame him.
Yeah, and everyone goes, we need him. And I know for a fact that Port Adelaide tried to throw a lot of money at him.
Yeah, fair play. What good is it spending buddy money on a player if he's out for half the season, Gary Ablett style? If you don't have the back of house facilities, the player's not worth half as much.
Yeah.
But their back of house is very fucking good.
Out of all that, it's very surprising that I'm the one that's tipped Hawthorn to finish the lowest out of us all. I've actually got him finishing 10th.
All right.
And it is because...
You want draft picks, you lying cunt.
Well, no. We don't get them. Even, I think St Kilda gets
St Kilda
gets our first round draft pick this year. So
you get them somehow.
I couldn't care where the first round draft pick is. If we get the number one draft pick, it's actually bad for us. But it's because Sam Mitchell's not there. And I think that I heard today that there'll be no Hodge, no Mitchell, no Lewis for round one. And that's the first time we haven't had those three players since 2002.
Jesus.
That's 15 years.
Holy shit.
Without one of those guys playing a game for Hawthorn.
See, the thing, I can imagine when Hawthorn play Melbourne, Hawthorn supporters, they'll be able to boo Lewis. Like they'll be able
no chance.
They'll be able to feel it. They won't be able to boo Mitchell.
No.
I think
they won't boo Lewis either. It's not going to happen.
He'll punch someone and they'll boo him.
Well, it depends. Depends who it is.
Yeah. Depends who,
he'll be the one that punches Roughhead.
Yeah. Roughhead was best man at his wedding. But having said that, he might, you know, there might be one or two that let's go.
But when West Coast play, I can absolutely imagine Mitchell getting all the plaudits until he does something smart, and they're like, motherfucker.
Well, remember the first time Gary Ablett went back to Geelong, and the first time Crowley played against Fremantle.
Yeah.
It's going to be the same. Like, you can't. He's one of the top five players of all time at Hawthorn.
Yeah, except Gold Coast are a much shittier side than West Coast.
Well, actually, when Gold Coast played down in Geelong and they were starting to look threatening, then the Geelong fans were that keen on Gary. But it'll be interesting. It'll be something.
I remember there was one where he just had this beautiful run snap from about 40 out on the boundary.
No, it was in the pocket.
And you see the players even just go, motherfucker, used to do that for us.
Used to do that for us.
But I can imagine Mitchell actually... If West Coast win, it'll be because he had a good game.
Yeah, well, so he's already picking up 30 touches in all the preseason. I mean, preseason's preseason.
You know, so it's easy enough to appreciate a player when the other team isn't that great. It's much harder to appreciate an ex-player when they've just beaten you and he's had a big part of it.
Yeah.
I think this is probably the most effort he's put into a preseason in a long time as well. So maybe. Bring myself for it because usually the old guys, you know, you're not putting in a whole lot of effort in preseason. You're trying to find an excuse to not have to run around.
Plus, it's warmer in Western Australia. Well,
he probably set the preseason schedule.
I got to say, Hodgie isn't even rocking up to training. So that kind of backs up your point there.
That was rough. Like, bloke doesn't rock up to training, gets suspended a week. Drink drives, no worries.
Hey, fucking finals, mate. Yeah. Any other club would have done the same thing. That's the...
North didn't. They suspended Kane Turner.
Yeah, Kane Turner.
Kane Turner.
Yeah. You're right. If Goldstein gets done the week before finals, what do you think's happening? No chance in hell.
Oh, he'd pray for forgiveness. Job done.
So anyway, I think that the loss of Mitchell, you cannot be underestimated. And I think that the rest of the league is sort of, they're all successful. Now you're going to see how good Mitchell actually is. Because at 34, he's going to change West Coast, which is phenomenal considering they still made finals last year.
Yeah.
All right, I think that'll do us for Hawthorn. It's been the longest one so far, which is no surprise.
Yeah, you wouldn't shut up.
But, between Essendon and Hawthorn are the two most fascinating teams to watch this year from a purely non-biased way to look at it. Because
even from a biased way, like if both of them have terrible seasons, I feel much better about my team.
Throw Frio in there as well.
Yeah.
Also, Hawks supporters, if you're interested in a Hawks-specific podcast for the season, check out the All Front podcast who came on here, so hopefully return the favour. So check out them and subscribe to their iTunes.
All right, that'll do us.
Thank you.
Cheers,
thank
guys. Peace.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.